Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us and you made it through Monday. Hopefully you're nearing the end of your work day and it was a good one. Keep it cool out there, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to Matt Rothschild and each and every one of you for your participation and discussion over this open field of candidates that we have for the Wisconsin gubernatorial election coming up in 2026. At the very least, ladies and gentlemen, contested primaries get folks engaged. It will be fascinating to see how this all plays out. One of the interesting questions that Matt Rothschild and I got into last hour was female candidates. And the fact that especially on the Republican side of the ticket, we've seen very, very few female candidates for statewide elected office make it past the primary. And I think it's been an overarchingly quite hostile environment, especially on the Republican side of the ticket. I often like to remind people as well, we've never had a female statewide chief executive officer, meaning governor. We've never had a female Milwaukee County executive. We have never had a female city of Milwaukee mayor. There are big obstacles in the way, some of them quite entrenched and systemic, generically a wee bit of the old boys club. Now, what's interesting in this moment is that I think certainly Donald Trump and the MAGA movement, to a big degree, have basically given a huge bear hug to the old boys club, saying, yeah, this is exactly how things should work, which is ironically exactly anti-meritocratic. Right? No one makes an argument that a woman should get the job because they're a woman, but she also shouldn't be eliminated from the job or the running for the job because she's a woman. That's just as stupid. And I wanted to get into this specifically from the viewpoint and what we're seeing here in the Milwaukee area in the private sector when we look at C-suite or top-level leadership in companies here in Wisconsin. Joining me to have this conversation this hour is Lori Richards. She is the CEO of Mueller Communications. Welcome, Lori. It's a real pleasure to have you.
Maggie, thank you so much for having me. Delighted to be here.
It's so important. Over the last few years in Milwaukee, as you well know, we've seen a number of top female C-suite executives, so meaning chief operating officers, fiscal officers, CEOs, they can be information officers, exit or retire, and all of them have been replaced by men. At the same time, we're seeing just a few women that have replaced men in the C-suite. In other words, new women in these top-level leadership positions. One, of course, our friend Sarah Panchetti at Summerfest, the Milwaukee World Festival Organization, I think doing an outstanding job by all accounts in what is a very difficult industry and niche. But folks, if you don't know about some of these other women that we're talking about, we've got Michelle Glass at Kohl's, Peggy Troy at Children's Hospital, Kathy Jacobson at Freighter, the list goes on. What's going on here, Lori, in your viewpoint and as a woman in a C-suite? And kudos, you've also sat on a number of boards. You continue to serve on a number of boards. We also see women trailing men in that measurement as well. What's going on now? Why are we seeing fewer women rather than a slow, consistent uptick, which I think you would expect all else being equal?
Right. And let's be honest, right? The pace has not been fast enough for my taste, and I'm sure yours as well, when we're talking about women joining the ranks of the C-suite. But there's been a really interesting trend over the last handful of years where it seems like even the slow pace has slowed even further. Now, layer in what's happening with the administration, what's happening with, I'm using air quotes that you can't see, DEI right now.
Yes.
And it seems like it could be an alarming trend, right? What are we seeing right now where all of a sudden even the progress we were making at finding more equity at the top levels is really starting to slow down? It's an interesting topic, and recently I facilitated a information session for a business group. One of the speakers that we had was Andrea Schneider from the Institute for, formerly of the Institute for Women's Leadership at Marquette. She's really dug in and actually looked specifically at the legal industry, at some of these trends. However, I think they apply to businesses across the board. But it was really interesting because it looked at things. It looked at the numbers of women entering, first of all, the legal profession, entering law school, more women than men.
And it has been for a long time.
Graduating law school, more women than men.
Yes.
Entering the ranks of big law firms, more women than men. But then fast forward to leadership positions, and it tends to dwindle at that level to 20 to 30%, something like that. So the question is, what happens in between those periods of time? Andrew did a really interesting job of sort of unpacking some of the theories around this. One being, well, women take a step back when they have children, right? The lean-in theory. And she actually really looked at women also who chose not to have children, and they were affected by some of the same numbers. It's not as if women without children were entering the C-suite at greater numbers.
And just a little anecdote there, and folks, if you're just joining us, I've got Lori Richards, CEO of Mueller Communications. We're talking about how women in C-suite positions, the pace of that seems to be slowing down. Mm-hmm. I think corporate boards of publicly traded companies, mm-hmm. they see headwinds. I think they see greater risk for women based on nothing more than political hyperbole mm-hmm. in this moment. All bad. I think all of these things end up translating. The business case here is so very important. They end up translating right. into worse business results right. for shareholders,
right.
right? Like lower wages for people. And we can get into the business case mm-hmm. for women and other people of more diverse backgrounds in leadership. But just an anecdote, when I was in big law and I worked for some of the largest law firms in the world, I had made it fairly well known that I wasn't married, I'm not looking to have kids, because I was incredibly concerned about that bias. Mm-hmm. And I had a partner one day look me in the face and say, yeah, you say that now, but tomorrow you'll meet Mr. Right, and in a year you'll be pregnant. And so I'm not assigning you to this big, juicy, fat case mm-hmm. that was going to be going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. He actually said the quiet part out loud to me. Yeah. Didn't even occur, and you can't really do this in the legal industry, which is sue over this stuff because you get blackballed and you'll never work again. So I wasn't going to do that. But it was precisely this thing that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Whether you're single or not, mm-hmm. the presumption is, oh, you're going to off-ramp at some point. And it is inhibiting many women's careers, regardless of their objectives, in a way that is never on the table for men.
Mm-hmm. Even the founder of my firm, who's been my biggest champion, my biggest advocate, my biggest mentor, when I told him I was pregnant with my first child, I remember him saying, I'm really fearful you're not going to return. That's what happened to my wife, right? Mm. So we see people apply their other experiences, even though we know ourselves best and
yes.
better. I know how important this professional experience is to me, and that it wasn't going to be a barrier, but it was in his mind, right? He
yep.
was thinking a lot about it. So, but just returning to Andrea's
yes.
research for a second, I think the really interesting piece that we took away from that is, and I heard you speak about this earlier, as it applies to politics, it still comes down to this old boys network. It comes down to the country club spaces, where the golf outings, where women aren't present, because a lot of business still happens in those spaces. Deals are done, and if you're not even a part of the conversation, it's really hard to break into those spaces. Now, add in the environment that we're seeing right now, the political environment, the point in time where even as a female CEO, maybe people are questioning, did you get that job because you really earned it? Or did you get that job because it was just a good PR move? Feels really bad to have people ask that question so many years in hindsight, but it's happening.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that the environment has become so much more antagonistic. And every time, not every time, but often when I'm interacting with conservatives on this program, and I've received a lot of texts in this regard, not so many callers, they don't like to say it on the airwaves, I hear people calling out various women in leadership saying effectively they were a diversity hire. That assumes that the only qualified people are men, or specifically white men. And legit, I know plenty of men out there who have worked for incompetent other male bosses. Mm-hmm. To me, the idea that competency and qualifications, or incompetency, or a lack of managerial or leadership acumen is somehow the purview of one sex and not the other is so stupid on its face. Mm-hmm. And yet it sort of persists. The judgment that is leveled or the presumption that's made if a woman is in that position, I would tend to think is, wow, she must really be qualified because it is so difficult to get these jobs. And I think even before sort of the anti-woman, you know, nascent, burgeoning, male-centered machismo movement that you've seen in the last few years, that has always been the case. Mm-hmm. And again, yet you hear all these whisperings. I can just say from, again, my own experience, Lori, especially being from the Midwest and not from an Ivy League university, in every space I was in at the highest levels of my profession, I had to come ready to demonstrate my competence in a way that was much different from some of my other colleagues, both men and colleagues that came from a much more elite background.
Absolutely.
So it's an interesting moment in time for us. Let's talk a little bit about the business case. We're going to have to take care of a little bit of business on the live radio here. But I want to think about why, if someone's listening and they've got a granddaughter or a daughter who is in college or entering the job market or working in the post office, mm-hmm. right? Or thinking about running for local office or thinking about maybe entering a trade, why it is incredibly important that we continue to advocate for women in C-suites based, of course, on their qualifications. We're never saying you should hire someone who can't do these jobs. And what it actually looks like to do that, because I think some men may have an incorrect impression about what that looks like to bring some different backgrounds mm-hmm. into the highest levels of leadership. Because we're not talking about people who aren't qualified, and we're talking about thinking about hiring processes and pools right. and pipelines in a very different way. If you have a comment or question for Lori or I, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. One of the things that, at least for me, and thinking in terms of all of the folks, all of you listening across the state of Wisconsin, at the base case, if it is true that businesses are more profitable and do better when we have more diverse leadership, what, pray tell, is the counter argument? I just don't understand. And what does it mean, again, for your daughters and granddaughters that are coming up in the workplace? What does it mean for women in leadership today? We're going to continue this discussion on the other side with Lori Richards, CEO of Mueller Communications. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.